You know what time it is. It's time for Grating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grating the Nerd. This is the show where Zach and I talk. A lot of times it's about something, but as some comments have told us, a lot of times it's not. So, how you doing, man?
I'm all right. How about you?
I'm doing okay. It's been kind of a busy week, but just, you know, at work. But otherwise, man, kind of paint by numbers at home, you know?
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, just getting ready for my son turns 16 in June and my daughter graduates high school at the end of May. So
Wow. Prepping
for those two big milestones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but other than that, man, not a whole lot. Just trying to keep up with the neighbors as far as mowing so that I'm not the derelict house.
Yeah. I understand that.
And I missed last weekend because of Easter. I didn't do it on Saturday like I should have. It's like, oh, I'll do it. I'll do it tomorrow after we're done with Easter. And then we got home from my sister's house and I was like, oh, it's too late. And then it rained on and off every time I had time this week, you know?
So I actually mowed on Easter last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
You were like, I'm going out to mow. Why? Because the grass has risen.
That's right.
Boom, boom, dad joke. Nice. Yeah, I thought about it, but we got home too late. And then, like I said, work's been busy too. So, like, most nights I haven't gotten home before, like, 7 o'clock. So, even though it's staying light a little longer out, I'm like, do I really want to go out there? I'm already tired and stuff. Do I want to go out there and try to race the sun? You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no. So instead I waited till yesterday and then mowed and had to keep stopping because my mower kept going like, listen, I don't know what kind of wheat thresher you think this thing is, but but I can't put up with this much up under the lid. So yeah, not too bad. I wish it would stop being cold though here in Ohio. I mean, that sucks because I would really like to, like, even yesterday, every time I mow, I think about it because I mow around. And I'm like, when am I going to open the pool up? And I'm like, well, probably once I'm sure that it's not going to freeze again.
Yeah.
Like once a week, it just drops into like the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Weather's weird here.
It is. It's stupid. Weather's stupid. You want to be a meteorologist? No, weather's dumb. What? Anyway, so what about you, man? How's your week been?
You know, work stuff. Nothing amazing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter, my youngest, she started reading, and she went from like being able to read like nothing to like everywhere she goes, she's like reading every single thing she sees.
Really?
And like, yeah, like she started picking up on like some of the patterns that are involved and how things are pronounced based on what she's read so far, and so like she's reading words that like I don't feel like she should be able to recognize yet.
She taking that limitless pill?
She's just like really good at reading, I guess.
That's awesome.
My other two kids are really great at reading too, but like theirs is more like they just like to read. So like they'll read before bed and, you know, they go through a lot of library books and stuff like that. This is not me at all. They must get this from my wife.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. That's what I was going to say. That's awesome because that'll be that's a good outlet to kind of lifelong learning, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I am not a reader.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it immensely.
I do too.
But I'm no good at it. Yeah. That's the problem. I read really slowly anyway. And then as I've gotten older, especially if I try to read anything like 10 minutes in, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Like I'm hunched over a book on my couch, like waking up like,
That's why I like reading comics lately.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's such a quick hit.
Yeah, since we started doing that for the podcast, I mean, it's the way that it does storytelling. It relies more on the imagery, to help depict the story, and so like it kind of gets more to the point with the dialogue, and And I enjoy that a lot more. I can get through it and not feel like I'm going to fall asleep, you know?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. Everybody keeps telling me to pick up like Audible. I need to.
I do like Audible. Audiobooks are great. When I worked third shift at Walmart, I felt like my brain was just slowly digesting itself while I was there.
So, right.
So I started listening to audiobooks on third shift while I was working, and that helped a lot. I learned a lot of cool stuff too.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, I need to pick, I keep like threatening to pick it up, especially I should now, because at least till the end of May, like the project we're working on, I have to be in the office every day. So, you know, my commute's about 25 minutes one way. So I'm like, I've been listening to podcasts, but I'm like, I should just get an audio book and just listen to that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's I don't know, man. we should make an app called Unolingo. Like, learn to read.
Unolingo.
Yeah, it'd have to be like, we couldn't write on the app learn to read. It would have to audibly say it, because we're reaching out to people who can't read.
Yeah.
All kinds of weird arcane symbols on that paper. Paper? What are we putting flyers out? Shit.
When I was working there, I started developing a lot of interest in evolutionary biology, and it occurred to me that I didn't know enough about how that stuff worked. So somebody recommended a book to me called Why Evolution is True by an American biologist named Jerry A. Coyne.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. I listened to that book like maybe 4 or 5 times when I was working.
Really?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot, because he breaks it down in a way that makes it like just a lot easier to digest.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I've been speaking of horrible transition. Speaking of podcasts, because I said that word, I think it was you. Was it you that was telling me that you're listening to a podcast called Old Gods of Appalachia?
Yeah, I was. I haven't listened to it for a little bit, but yeah, I was listening to that.
Okay. And it's kind of a cosmic horror,
yeah,
you know, Lovecraftian look, kind of in the Appalachian region of America, though, right?
Yep.
I'm watching. I haven't pledged yet, but Monty Cook, who, you know, big time role playing guy, Monty Cook, author of a lot of well known stuff. Monty Cook Games has a Kickstarter going right now for an Old Gods of Appalachia role playing game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so I was thinking about backing it to pick it up. I was like, that would be fun as hell to play, you know?
Yeah. It's cool, because it's got like a lot of like, it's got a lot of like Lovecraftian type horror in it, but it's also has some hints of like cryptid type stuff that just only comes from that region of the U.S.
Nice, nice. That's awesome. You know, yeah, like Mothman-y type
Mothman
stuff.
Mothman, things like haints and stuff like that, witches. Yeah. And yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I really like it a lot. The audio quality on the show is fantastic, and they really like the soundscape that they do with like all of the audio and the music and the sound effects.
Oh, okay.
It really draws you in when you're listening to it. It's like, oh wow, this is really immersive.
So like the ambient music and work and things like that. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very, very cool.
Yeah, I gotta check it out. It's in my queue of like, hey, podcast to check out, and I haven't gotten to it. But yeah, I saw this pop up on Kickstarter. It's still got 12 days to go.
How's it doing?
It's great. It's let's see. Currently sitting at $1,325,987 pledged.
Is that over goal?
Yeah. It's 2,651% funded.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Like I said, awesome. It's got Monty Cook's name attached to it, and his shit's always quality.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, so I'm pretty interested. The cover of the book just looks badass too. You're talking cryptids. It looks pretty cool. It's got this kind of weird on the cover. You mentioned cryptids. It's got this like weird kind of almost undead looking buck deer with his antlers on fire. Well, and his eyes are red, and I'm like, that's badass looking.
You know? Yeah.
But yeah, his stuff he puts out is always super quality. The one thing is, it's one of those, like, you can get a PDF of it on Kickstarter for $25. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not bad. But then it's like, well, if you want a print edition and a PDF, it's like $70, because it's a pretty thick book, I'm guessing. And then it's, of course, it's like a deluxe edition. And then there's also one that gives you all these, all this stuff like character portfolios and special dice and cards for XP. And then, you know, of course, Kickstarter is great for like FOMO. You know, it's like, well, I might as well just spend the 170 because I might need those dice someday. You know, like, right. Yeah, right. So that's why I'm watching it, because my gut instinct was like, back big. And then I was like, hold on, just watch it. And as it gets closer to done, choose what you responsibly can do, dummy.
Oh, okay. I see it. I see it. The Old Gods board game cover with the deer that's antlers are on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember this now. There was a this is from a very specific story that they told in one of it.
Oh, is it really?
Nice. Yeah. It was cool. Nice. It was cool. That was a creature that was like, you get the feeling from talking to it, because there's this particular story is following a young woman who's living in the woods, and I can't remember what the circumstances were from why she ended up on her own, but basically she had like a whole bunch of like ritualistic magic that she would do as part of her just like her daily routine. And like, what's weird is like, I didn't know this about a lot of people who lived in the mountains around there, was that like a lot of those like ritual things that they do and stuff like that, that looks like ritual magic, it all comes from like Eastern European, like old Dutch, things like that, bringing over their old traditions and stuff like that. And a lot of it is something called powwow, which is like, it's like folklore magic.
Nice.
But yeah, she's like in the woods and this thing has been like stalking her and like approaches her at some point and starts talking to her from this outside of this barrier, this magical barrier she's created around her home. It's that part of the story is really eerie.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, man. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, I think you would like it a lot.
Cool, yeah.
Like I said, the soundscape for it, just the immersive ambient noise and music is just fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. And then, you know, like I said, I'm probably going to pull the trigger at some level on this game. So it might be something we can play later on.
Sweet. Down the Looks line. Cool as hell. So, I just saw some stuff from it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really boss, so.
Sorry, I feel like I got really carried away right there.
yeah, no, I mean, it's a cool topic. You know, it's one of those things that's super interesting, so. Yeah, but do you want to dive into the news?
Yeah, let's dig into that.
All right, so got a couple quick hitters and then something we're going to discuss a little further. Let's see, so I know this has got to get you excited. Let's see, so later this year, they've said, that super, super vague, but later this year, Andor is reportedly set to start shooting. Ugh. At Elstree Studios. So another Star Wars show for us.
I'm so fucking burned out on Star Wars.
I know, it just revs your engine, man.
Yeah, to think about it.
So that's all I got on that one. Also, we got our first set photos of Sony's Kraven the Hunter movie starring Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw like a little snippet of a car chase from that movie. Somebody like hanging off the side of a car.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It was somebody filming from like a window, like over top of the street where it was being filmed.
Right. Right. Well, and that's what, so we got our couple of set photos. I mean, he looks good as the part. He's actually bulked up more, which is crazy. You know, if Sony's recent outings that aren't Spider-Man, like Morbius or any indication, it's probably going to be a hot pile of shit. But the only reason I thought the set photos were interesting is he kind of looks the part. He's got a full beard instead of the like little Van Dyke type goatee thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the photos, he's very clearly running barefoot, and then he's wearing those fake feet shoes, like the Hobbit feet shoes that they've made for barefoot running in a movie.
Okay, yeah.
Which I think it looks hilarious. He's wearing a big floppy foot shoe, you know. Like, yeah, which is kind of funny. So, yeah, so that's filming, despite me hoping and, you know, sacrificing things to the gods of movies that it wouldn't happen. It is. So bully. And then Well, let's see. My last news story we want to talk, I think we're going to want to talk about a little bit. So let's instead kind of skip around and let's quickly go to Ezra Miller Watch. Yeah. So what has that jackass done this week, Zach? I think Jiminy you pinged Christmas. Me with this information.
Yeah. He got arrested again.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Within 3 or 4 weeks of being arrested last time.
Yeah. So he was at like a party or something, and it sounds like he was inebriated, got into someone, threw a chair for some reason, and hit a young woman in the face with it.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This guy, man, I mean, do you think, so he's always seemed a bit, we'll say eccentric, raving lunatic is probably more accurate, but do you think that it's that he's gone sharply downhill because of how everybody makes fun of his shitty running as the Flash?
While I think that would be very amusing, I doubt it very much.
Like, he's just like, I'll show you. I mean, the one thing that I know without a doubt is that he's not able to get away from the cops if it's on foot. Because when I see this guy run, I'm like, yeah, dude, like, there's no, I mean, he looks like Forrest Gump before the braces break on his feet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah. Like, Mama said they was my running shoes. Like, well done, Ezra. Once again, though, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how many times can you get arrested before somebody just, a studio just goes, you know what, we're done working with this guy. You yeah. know, I mean, if and especially Warner Brothers, because you would think it would be somewhat, or no, it's not Warner Brothers, Universal is who does Harry Potter. Because I was like, you're going to say, I was going to say, Harry with Universal, it only took one defamation suit for Johnny Depp, and then they were done. They were like, get out of here. We want a new Grindelwald. Yeah, but Warner Brothers, you know what, though? Warner Brothers is kind of king of just continuing to beat a dead horse and not knowing when to let something go. So, unless it's Henry Cavill. So they'll probably, he'll be Flash well into his 80s at this rate.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Who wants to let Henry Cavill go anyway?
Oh, I wouldn't. He's dreamy.
Yeah.
And he knows how to build a computer, and he plays Warhammer. Warhammer might be the breaker for me. I'd be like, listen, guy, I got so much D&D shit sitting around here. We can't have Warhammer armies sitting around here also. We don't have the shelf space. So it's me or the Warhammer, Henry. Yeah. I mean, Warner Brothers, I just don't get it, man. Warner Brothers, like, couldn't wait to get rid of Henry Cavill, it seems. Like, they're just like, oh, a stand-up guy who seems genuinely pleasant and loves this character. Yeah, we're going to keep him. Hey, what about the waify psycho who keeps throwing things at people and choke slamming people? Oh, sign me up, baby.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they're thinking over there.
I don't either, man. I like when you just Google Ezra Miller, though. One of the first images that comes up is him at some sort of premiere, maybe. Mm-hmm. But he's standing in front of what looks to be a bush. Or some sort of shrubbery. And he's got really tall hair. He looks like a racer head. That's crazy. So anyway. All right. Enough about that, dummy. Last but certainly not least for the news. We got a new trailer this week.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a teaser. But boy, did it tease some fun stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't think so, huh?
No, I'm not excited about this.
You're not excited about Love and Thunder?
No, I'm not.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you not like Ragnarok?
It was all right. I waited until I could watch it on like streaming, and then I watched it, and I was like, yeah, that was a movie. I don't like, one of the things I don't like about Thor is, like, I don't like its sound design.
Okay.
Like, a lot of the audio that they use for it is just, like, 80s hair bands.
Yeah, man.
I don't like that. Like, I get that's sort of his look, and he kind of fits that, but, like...
Right, right.
I don't know, man.
You like the more straightforward thee and thou Thor from the comics? The old school Thor?
Maybe. I mean, I sort of like the way that they've changed his dialogue up now to where he doesn't, you know, necessarily talk like that, but like,
right.
At the same time, like, I don't know, man. I just like, I like and appreciate when there's like new music that's created for something.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, and I can say that it's not just Thor. Like, I don't really like this in most things. I don't like when they're like, let's take Welcome to the Jungle and just put it over this car chase scene. It's like, no, I've heard that 97 times. I don't want that. It's not funny. It's not cool.
Okay. Is that because you don't like the music though? Like if it was some sort of weird techno K-pop, would you be more inclined to be like, yeah, righteous?
Not really, no.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought maybe it was just your disdain for 80s hair metal.
I mean, that is a good portion of it. But, like, I don't like K-pop. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, you said you like that one band that's like, what's it called? Like, I don't even remember. It was like, maybe it was a Japanese band. But
yeah, I like Japanese music.
Okay, sorry. J-pop. Yeah. No, it's like this like kind of emo band, right? That you were into, that you were like, I don't know why I like it, but I really do.
Oh, no, that was like, so that falls more into like a rock category, but it's weird because it's like genre based. Like it's got like a French Renaissance sort of theme to it. There's lots of like, what are those, harpsichords and shit?
Oh, harpsichord. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Harpsichord's nice. All right. So, so you're not excited about Love and Thunder. What about the end of the trailer where we get to see Ms. Natalie Portman jacked up a little bit?
A little bit. I couldn't tell how much was the costume and how much was her.
I mean, the arm at least looked toned.
Yeah.
So, because she's kind of historically like very thin.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I still remember when we saw her in Black Swan. Also, she lost weight for that movie. And I was like, Jesus, like
somebody I never saw that
girl a sausage McMuffin. But yeah, she's looking. And it was funny. I saw an interview with her. I don't know if we've talked about it on the show or not, but she was on some late night show and they said, hey, so you're going to be playing this female version of Thor. And have you been working out hard? She's like, I've been working out harder than I ever have in my life. And she's like, and I felt like I was making huge strides. Like I was like, Jesus, I'm buff. And she goes, and then the first day on set to film, I stepped up next to Chris Hemsworth and like my waist is the size of his arm. She's like, and I thought, oh, I was like, that is true. Like you look at that guy and that guy, he looks like a He-Man action figure.
Yeah.
Like it's insane. Oh man. Okay. Well, I didn't realize that you had that much disdain for the Thor franchise and its current tone.
I mean, I can't get into it. Like, I don't hate it. Like, you know, it's not like they're not awful movies. There's things I like about it, and some of the dialogue's pretty good, and there's funny characters like, you know, that one guy. Oh,
yeah. Which one guy? Korg?
Yeah, Korg's funny.
Yeah. He's going to have a big role in this one.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued. Now, do you like the Guardians movies?
Kind of.
But it's kind of the same thing. I mean, it's the feel is very similar.
Similar. Now, I will say with that, I'm a little bit more okay with the sound design being involving more classic music like that because it kind of fits the character a little bit better.
You know, he hasn't been
Star-Lord.
Yeah, right, he hasn't been to Earth since that era, basically.
Right, exactly. Okay. I feel like it fits a little bit better in there. It doesn't work with me for Thor. Like, I don't like it for some reason. It's kind of, feels... It kind of feels a little redneck. I'm not going to lie.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so funny. I was just thinking about the Guardians this week and I don't know why this came into my head, but such an underappreciated joke I feel is in Infinity War when they first Iron Man and Doctor Strange and Spider-Man first come across the Guardians, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such an underrated joke when Doctor Strange says, what master do you serve? And Star-Lord's like, what am I supposed to say? Jesus Christ? They're like, wait a second, are you from Earth? I'm just like, that's such a good joke. Cause you know, it's like, wait a second, are you from Earth? He's like, yeah, why? I just love that. It's just such a silly thing, but yeah, man, I don't know. This looks good. We got some really cheesy other gods in this. We see what appears to be Russell Crowe's Zeus. That's the rumors. That's Russell Crowe, but he's got this weird, like, plasticky looking lightning bolt.
That's funny.
Again, I don't know if that's just kind of his icon that he holds. And when he, like, cast it out, that's actual real lightning. And then it kind of, you know, comes back to him, the plastic bolt does or whatever, when he puts his hand up. But yeah, we see some shit straight out of the comics with the big, it's actually a god, the big thing that's like laying on its side, bleeding. It's obviously been killed by Gore, and Thor and Korg are standing on that rock looking at it. That shot is like translated directly out of the Gore, the God Butcher storyline in the Thor comics. With the addition of Korg. Korg isn't there in the comics, but you know, it's Thor kind of reminiscing in the comics about how that he was friends with that thing. And it's like a space god of some sort. And, you know, he was friends with it, and it was like very likable and like a very nice guy. And now it's dead, you know? And I was like, huh, interesting. I don't know, man. I'm into this, dude. I like the silliness adjacent to the badassery of Thor. A lot of people don't, man. A lot of people really hated Ragnarok because they were like, it made him too goofy and all that. I think that's fun for that character, because especially we harken back to what I said about Hemsworth is like, I mean, he's built even without superpowers, like he could beat up anybody, you know? And then you add in that he's like the God of Thunder. And then for him to be sort of doofy on the side, I think that, I don't know, that hits a fun combination for me, you know, a kind of 80s action hero, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm into this, man. I think it's going to be good. It's soon too. This holds the record now for the shortest amount of time between the premiere of a Marvel movie and us seeing a first trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it's due to hit theaters in July.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that we're going to get the first trailer proper, probably on the front end of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. That's my guess anyway.
Yeah. I like, so Taika Waititi plays Korg, right?
Yes, he does.
I feel like his Korg voice is like his impression of Rhys Darby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it just sounds like he's doing an impression of Rhys Darby.
That's hilarious. Speaking of those two, I don't know if you've checked this out yet. I just finished the first season of Our Flag Means Death.
Yeah.
That show is so good.
I loved it. Loved it so much. Like, it's just, I was like, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, wow, was that a real person? And I'd look it up, and a lot of times it was. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, I had so much fun watching it. It was great. Great storytelling, a lot of fun. He was awesome as Blackbeard.
Oh, yeah, he really was. He was great. Yeah. Yeah. And Rhys Darby playing the gentleman pirate. I mean, that guy's always hilarious.
So funny.
Always. So,
yeah, I really liked that show a lot. It's doing really well. It's been like the number one streaming show for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's killing it. And I'm just so excited for a second season, man. I don't know. I thought I saw that they'd confirmed it, but I may be wrong.
I have not seen any official statement yet, but there's rumors bubbling about what season two will be about.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So it's probably in the works. I mean, it seems like it's doing really well. I think it would be a bad idea to not renew it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Same here. So, all right, man. Well, I think that's the news.
That's the news.
That's the news. All right. So let's get into what we came to talk about today. We came let's to talk about episode 4 of Moon Knight.
Moon Knight.
Yeah. He's the Knightiest.
Boy, is he ever.
So this one took some twists and turns. So what did you think? Hot take on this episode.
Good. I thought it was good.
Okay.
So I felt like it had a fair balance between Mark and Steven in terms of their appearance between the two of them.
Yep.
I feel like I'm starting to like Steven more than I like Mark.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Mark's more one dimensional, I think. Like he's just like, I got to do this for Khonshu.
Right. he's just kind of hard to like, and this Steven just has so many other qualities to his personality.
Right.
Interesting. But yeah, I mean, we kind of saw this whole thing coming where Steven was sort of interested in Layla, and
right.
She seems to have maybe mixed feelings about it, probably even more so now by the end of the episode, because
right.
She found out that Mark was somehow involved in her father's murder, even mm-hmm. if it was indirectly.
Yeah, yeah.
So the guy who killed her father and then tried to kill him, was that is that Bushman? Is that character?
In the comics it is.
Yeah.
In the
you
comics
we're gonna get a look at him, or
I don't know, man. I'm kind of unsure, because it feels like they got a lot to introduce in the last two episodes.
Yeah, there's a
you
lot
know, if we need up. Any kind of new introduction. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna get a look at him or not. Yeah, I'm just not sure, man. I feel like, you know, I've seen theories online. There's lots of theories that this third persona of Mark's that we might see, Jake Lockley or somebody else, mm-hmm. might be the one that killed her dad and them. But I don't necessarily agree with that, because he says, I got shot too and should have died. And it feels weird that it would have been another personality of himself that would have tried to kill himself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
But, you know, I have seen those theories out there. Yeah, I find it hard, though, to really buy some of the chemistry between Steven and Layla. I mean, he's kind of everything that she wants, you know, like he's interested in Egyptology and history and doing uh-huh. what's right. And he's a nice guy and all this. But he's so fucking awkward around her. Like, the fact that she would be like, I like this guy, feels weird to me, you know? Like,
yeah.
Unless, I mean, it's got to be kind of hard, because she's like, I fell in love with this other guy who is you, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So
it's definitely strange. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a bit awkward. We did get, we got a little bit more of those Stephen Grant Britishisms in this episode.
Yeah, we did. You want to talk about those?
What was that segment called again?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I can't even remember, because we didn't get one last week. So
no, we didn't.
Yeah. So we'll call it, as much as I want to call it, Lil Tommy Holland's Guide to Brits. No, I think we were just calling it British slang? Question mark?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Something yeah. Like so what were the ones you picked up on?
So I picked up two.
Okay.
And they're at the dig site outside of Ahmed's tomb.
Right.
They're kind of digging through the tents and looking for God knows what, because they really don't take anything with them. Stephen walks into a tent. He starts poking around at some things, and Mark appears to him in a reflection and says, you look scared. And Stephen says, I'm not. And then Mark says, well, you should be. Without Khonshu, there's no suit, which means there's no healing. There's no power. He goes, yeah, no more you, I thought. That is what you said, isn't it? But I guess believing anything that comes out of your mouth shows how much of a plonker I am.
Oh, that's right. A plonker. Yes.
And I paused it and laughed and thought, is plonker a real thing? And so I looked it up, and apparently it is. I've never it heard is. It before. Yeah.
Oh, I have. I've heard it a couple times, but yeah.
Yeah. It is mildly derogatory British slang for someone who's stupid. It also is used and referred to a penis at times.
Wait till she gets us. Look at this plonker.
Yeah. The other thing was, like, right after that, Layla, like, rappels down into the opening for the tomb and yeah. gets down there safely. And then Steven comes tumbling down the hole like an idiot and slams into the ground. And she right. says, are you okay? And he says, yep, yep, I'm aces, yep.
I'm aces, yeah, yeah. Aces. Yeah, that, that was funny. That whole sequence, it was funny, because right after that, he sees the Sphinx-type statues, right? Like, yeah. And he's like, he goes, I'm so excited. He's like, the only way I'd be more excited is if one of them came to life and asked me for a riddle for passage or something like that. And he uh-huh. asked me a riddle for passage. And he goes, I'd shit my pants. I half expect him to say, I'd soil me knickers. But yeah. Yeah, they're slang. It cracks me up.
Yeah.
I'd make a brown in me panty wanties. What?
There's definitely times where the slang feels a little forced, but.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But no, that's funny. Yeah. Aces and plonker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's funny because I remembered that I remembered thinking, oh yeah, there was a couple, slangs in this one, but I didn't write them down. And I'd like, when you said it, I was like, oh, shit, I totally forgot what they were, but yeah, plonker and aces.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice. That's funny. So you mentioned he comes tumbling down, like he doesn't know how to rappel properly,
right, which
he sort of hints at because she says something about what did she say? She said like, before I belay, and he's like, what's belay? And she's like, you're so funny. And I was like that even, I was like, it was one of those things where it felt a little like by the numbers humor. You know what I mean? Like, like, oh, I'm assuming you're making a joke rather than being like, now he's a guy that works at like a museum gift shop and doesn't travel ever. He probably doesn't know what belaying is, you know?
Right. I don't know what the fuck it is.
It's exactly how she went down. Like descending when rock climbing or rappelling, you know, using the rope and like, there's like, basically you have a little, as you can tell, I'm very experienced with this. You have a doohickey that the rope runs through that when you pull down on the rope, it like locks you off basically. Gotcha. So that you stop descending. Mm. So
the all important doohickey.
Yeah, the doohickey. I don't know what the real name is. If you ever like go rock climbing at like an indoor rock climbing place, or I suppose you do it outdoor rock climbing as well. But when I've gone to indoor rock climbing places, there's a person on the ground who is like the belayer, and they basically lock off the person climbing, so it's one less thing that an inexperienced climber has to worry about. You know.
Gotcha.
And so like the rope that's connected to you goes up through a pulley, down through a pulley on the floor, and then over to them. And they have the lock, like they pull the rope down when you're getting ready to make a big move or something, so that if you fall, you just catch right there, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, it is funny that she just, you're so funny. I never know when you're joking. But, and then he didn't go, I'm not joking. Like, I don't know what it is, you know? But then right after that too, we see him punch himself in the face.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I think this was a good hint again at a third personality, because at first you imagine that it's Mark mad that he kissed Layla, right? Mm-hmm. But we've never seen them really be able to fully exercise control of the body when they're not the dominant personality,
right?
You know, so to me, it kind of almost made me think of, this might be that third personality trying to interject here and be like, no, it's my turn to take over, you know? So I don't know. I mean, I may be wrong there, but it is funny. I watched a video on some theories of how other hints throughout the show that we've seen about the third personality. Right. Yep. And they've talked about the three mirrors a lot, but they also said, like, now that we know more about Mark's background, the date with the woman at the museum, it doesn't make sense that Mark would have asked her out.
Ah, yeah, you're right.
Because he's married and he's so, like we talked about, he's so focused on completing Khonshu's mission.
Right.
You know, and then they also said, like, also he's in a city where it's been established his wife lives. So why would he, if he's hiding from her, why would he risk being out in public? And right, so,
yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I was like, interesting. That is a good point. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we get other hints in this one at a third personality that we'll talk about here in a little bit, but, yeah, we got some more supernatural elements even before that kind of ending. We got some more supernatural elements in this with like the mummy priest.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. I mean, it smacked of like the Brendan Fraser mummy movies.
A little bit, yeah.
And I'm into it, man. I love those movies. I'm into it. Like when I saw that thing and it was like clicking around, like it was, it sounded as if it was using echolocation. Take a goddamn note, writers of Morbius.
So yeah, that whole scene is kind of gross and dark.
Yeah, it really is, especially for Disney. Marvel.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood. There's, you know, you don't see him preparing the body, but you definitely hear it and alludes to it.
And then he drops a piece of it into that jar.
Mm-hmm.
Which, what was that? Do you think? Was that
jar?
Yeah, the canopic jar, but what was the piece you think he dropped in
there? Oh, maybe his liver or something like that.
Yeah, because it was like long and cylindrical. So at first I was like, oh, it's probably his tongue, but I was like, that feels too long for the tongue, even if you got it all the way out by the base.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of like, interesting. Yeah,
it might have even been too small for the liver, because the liver is a fairly large organ.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. So,
yeah, I don't
it
know.
Was, but it was pretty spleen, it was pretty maybe? Gnarly. Do what?
Spleen, maybe.
Spleen, yeah. Like, they removed their wieners, and good on that guy. I mean, what a plonker on that fella, huh? yeah, I like that scene, man, where they're like both kind of hiding and she's doing the Jurassic Park, like shimmy around the edge of the thing so that she's not detected. And
yeah,
man, I thought that was cool. I liked also that. Later when she had to fight the mummy thing, when it grabbed her, you know, I don't know, that was a different one, right? Because he had
that was a different one. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. He pushed the thing over on the first one and
right. Yeah. He dropped the table on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but when the other one grabbed her, I thought it was that fight was like, it was good. At least cinematography and choreography, because when they like rolled over the side, like you got the sense that like they're fighting on this very narrow platform, and they made it look really cool when they rolled over that it looked like they both fell. Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But even earlier on when she like, I like when she kind of like broke its arm off or whatever, and it just started trying to stab her with the bone.
Yeah.
I was like, that's badass. Cause that's how something that didn't really feel pain would fight. You know, it's like, oh, you've just given me a weapon now. Mm-hmm. You know, like I thought that was cool, man. I was into all of that stuff. Like the weird snakeskin priest mummies. I was totally into that.
Yeah. It kind of weirdly reminded me of that one episode of Love, Death and Robots, where they had like the monster fight suit things.
Oh yeah. Remember
that? And they like hooked up to it, like, through some kind of neural link, and the like at some point she like ripped its arm off or something, and it's like trying to jabber with its bones.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, very,
that's where my brain went for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very similar, but yeah, it was, it was cool. I was into that. I will say things I didn't think worked as well in this episode was I liked that Harrow kind of said to her, like, Mark's response, like he basically told her, Mark's responsible for your dad's death. I didn't like the very tropey, like, we're going to talk about this now in the middle of a life or death situation where we're trying to get away from bad guys.
Yeah.
Like that's so played out, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't care for that part.
There's a lot of tropes in this show that I don't like.
Yeah, that is true. It is fairly trope forward.
It is. It's a little bothersome.
Yeah. What other ones? Any others? Well, there in this were particular
not episode? A ton in this episode. It was last okay. episode was super tropey.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It really was. You're absolutely right. We talked about that a lot last week a little bit.
So I think that the best part of the episode happened really at the end.
Okay. Yeah. And I was gonna get into that. So they obviously get there, and I did like real quick before we hit that. I did like that he was like, whose tomb am I in? You know, he's naming off pharaohs. And then he realized he's like Macedonia, and he realized it's Alexander the Great. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was neat.
Like, also, I mean, you've basically found out that Alexander the Great was the former avatar of Ahmet.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy, you know? I don't know. I thought all that stuff was cool. I the set was really great in that tomb. Like, it felt like what the inside of a tomb would be like in that culture, where
minus all the light.
Right. Yeah, there was way too much light in there. But yeah, I agree. Like, yeah, that was weird. But no, I kind of like that. Like, they had the water in there and stepping mm-hmm. stones, and they even had the little Ushabti type soul traps for like men to protect Alexander, you know, and stuff like that. I thought that mm-hmm. was kind of neat. Yeah. So I thought that was all cool. And then we see Harrow and his men get there, and he shoots Mark, And then that's where I'm assuming you're talking that from that point is the, like, your favorite part of the episode.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into that, man.
So there's not a ton of the episode left after this point, but like, he, so it, he, you see him fall into a pool of water, which looked very shallow at first.
Right.
And then suddenly got deeper and he started drifting into it, which I couldn't tell if maybe that was just supposed to be like a visualization of him drifting into his subconscious or something.
Yeah.
But he wakes up, and when he wakes up, he's in like an all white room. Everyone's wearing white like scrubs. And some of the people who have been part of his life in some way are also there. And they are either people who are working as orderlies or something for the facility that they're in, or they're patients.
Right. And it's a lot of people from his life.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. It's like everybody from like his former boss to like even like the guy that he just barely met who tried to pose as a police officer and arrest him for Haro.
Yeah, yeah. Both of them are in there. Both of them that were the police officers. Yeah. Billy and Bobby.
And then also Haro. Haro's there too. But so like this very much to me reflected the Welcome to New Egypt storyline a little bit.
Yes. Yep.
Those were definitely the vibes I was getting out of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of it's lifted pretty. Like, it's not following that story exactly, but a lot of the visualization is lifted right from that.
Well, like, even in that one, I think you were telling me that Amit is the doctor who's telling him that he's not right, right?
Right,
in this, it's Haro, but there's a lot of Amit imagery in his office.
Yes, yes. A ton of it. And I like the way they did his office, even. It's like, it's weirdly like some of the columns and archways and stuff from the pyramid are kind of built into the walls of his office, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah, I liked this a lot. I think that like, so I don't, you know, obviously we don't know really what's happening to Mark at this point, but it feels a lot like this is what he's doing to himself in his subconscious, because at his heart, he believes that he's crazy.
Right. Yep.
You know?
Agreed,
and so
agreed.
They, he ends up running from the orderlies at some point, enters a room, and inside of the room is a sarcophagus that's like shaking rapidly. And inside of the sarcophagus is Steven.
Right.
And they embrace each other, which like, I guess like they don't really hate each other as much as they thought kind of situation, which was kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as they're leaving the room, no, they're trying to get out of the facility. They passed by another door with another sarcophagus. This one is standing upright and trying to get open.
Right.
But then they just go past it. So I think that's probably Jake.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. And they don't acknowledge it at all, which kind of we mentioned last episode that it was weird when Mark kind of came to and was like, "What did you do, Steven?" He's like, "That wasn't me, I swear." And then they just sort of breeze past it. They don't take time to go, "Holy shit, is there someone else in here?" you know? And that's how this felt too. Like they both see it and then just both are like, "Nope." And just keep walking.
Yeah. One thing at a time.
right.
They get to the end of the hall and there's a massive creature approaching from behind the door, and they can see it in the glass, their frosted glass windows.
Yeah.
And then when the door opens, it is an anthropomorphic hippopotamus in Egyptian garb. And, and then I think it says hi to them and then they both shriek.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's supposed to be Taret from everything I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody is speculating that that's Taret. So Taret is an Egyptian god of rejuvenation and fertility.
Yes.
And so I wonder what her role is inside of Mark's subconscious, but should be interesting. She also has a small connection to Amit as well, in that Amit is apparently considered one of the other anthropomorphic hippopotamus gods, even though Amit's like only like a third of her body is considered like a hippopotamus.
Right. Yeah. Like the back third, I think.
Yeah. Like the back third. And so I thought that was a little strange, but that was what I picked up from reading about her, is that they're connected and that they're basically like the same type of god in that way.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I feel like there was more I picked up about that particular god that I thought was interesting, but I can't really remember what it was.
Well, I mean, some of the things too, from what I heard, I think that she was also responsible for like helping people prepare to float down the river to the afterlife as well.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so that's one of a lot of theories I've seen, and a lot of like, holy shit, what if, that I've seen is people have said like, well, what if he is dead? Like, what if he's dying here?
Uh-huh.
And like the shots killed him, and this is his journey to the afterlife. One of the other things I think Screen Crush threw out, like the possibility of like, what if this whole show has been his journey to the afterlife?
Okay.
And I was like, oh, wow. You know, so one of the things he pointed out, where he's like, it seemed like an odd detail when we first saw it, but he's like, in episode one, when he's leaving his apartment, he's talking to his mom on the phone, right? Steven, mm-hmm. When he gets out on the street, there's a guy pushing a cart with like 12 to 25 brooms, right?
Oh yeah.
And he's like, oh, excuse me, you know, and he's like, Ryan Airy on Screen Crush kind of mentioned like that could be considered like a field of reeds, you know, that he's moving past. And I was like, oh, interesting. That feels like a long shot, but okay.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, but that was I think that was his theory. He's done so many great videos on this. I highly recommend people check him out. Screen Crush on YouTube. You know, so his theory was, what if this is, you know, what if this whole show has been his journey to the afterlife, like his trial, basically. And that's why Harrow couldn't read him earlier when he tried to with his little special cane, because he's like, he wasn't done with his journey yet. That's why he couldn't weigh him to see if he was worthy or not to enter the afterlife. Uh-huh. And I was like, interesting thought, you know. I hope that's not it.
yeah, but, I hope that's not it too.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I thought this was cool, because the thing I liked about this episode after the transition, A, that everybody was there. I mean, the lady drawing the bird that had Khonshu's skull was the lady who made the fake IDs for fake ID for Layla. You know, there was also Crowley, the living statue guy, was the guy pulling bingo numbers.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I mean, everybody in this has been somebody that's been in his life thus far, which has been crazy. I like that it cold cut basically to the, like the cheesy Tomb Buster movie. You know, that he's watching with Dr. Stephen Grant, which is like where he may have taken on this persona from, seeing this movie when he was a child. I did also like that in that movie, Dr. Stephen Grant sort of looked like Harrow.
A little bit.
Yeah. And I was like, weird. Okay.
I thought he looked like Walden Goggins.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. The other reason I think there's a big hint in that there's a third persona in him, even before the second sarcophagus. Because in that show, when he talks about the moon god from the Aztecs, the little idol there has three faces.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, yeah, like they're leaning heavily into that. There's three personas in there.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I thought that was all really cool. It gave me the Welcome to New Egypt vibes hardcore. You know, yep. I mean, it was very similar. I was trying to think what else happened in there that was crazy. Yeah, man. The goddess Taaret, I think that, you know, we know that IMDb is kind of notorious for just assuming everybody is in every episode until they're not, you know, and then they update. But, if I remember right, on the red carpet, Antonia Salib, who's playing her, talked about her having a decently sized role in the show. So I'm interested to see if she takes on a more human persona to like, I kind of imagine that might happen in the next episode, even like that. She might be like, sorry, is it my appearance? You can't get past, what about this? And then just changes into the human form, you know. Something else that was pointed out though, was that in the closing credits, at one point in the closing credits, we see all of those little Yubshunti or whatever, the little idols that they put Khonshu in. Mm-hmm. We see a bunch of those standing there, and one of them in the background looks like it's her. And so people, like, the speculation is that maybe she's been trapped as well. And so that's why she's reaching out in this weird mind realm to Mark to try to help him get back to free them.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's weird, but it kind of makes sense if, like, she's also been a god that's been imprisoned. If maybe she's like, okay, I'll help you, you know, I'll help you understand and try to get your mind fixed to the point where we can heal your body so that you can come back and free us all, you know?
It's funny. So, like, you mentioned Bobby and Billy were there, the two cops that Haro had pick him up.
Uh-huh.
I completely forgot about this until I looked it up. Those were the names of the two orderlies in that comic.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I didn't even, like, put that together. Like, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I think this is definitely pulling from that specific comic.
Right.
In some way.
Oh, I think so too. Which would be a cool twist at the end, because I don't know, did you read that whole series?
I didn't get a chance to finish it, no.
Okay. I know we talked about it though. At the end of that series, Khonshu basically tells Mark, like, I need you to give me your body. Like, I need you to let me inhabit your body fully. Mm-hmm. And Mark is like, no, you know? And so it's kind of seeing how much of this is pulled straight from that makes me wonder if we're going to end up finding out that Khonshu's kind of the bad guy.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah. I mean, I think they later, I was watching a video and I think they said that they later retconned it sort of. In fact, I think it was a Screen Crush video where he said that, where they sort of retconned it, that it was like, well, Khonshu wasn't being a bad guy there. He was just, he was about to perish or something and blah, blah, blah. But in that series, yeah, at the end, he's like, Mark, your mind is weak and my body is old. I need you to just let me inhabit you fully and we'll go forward. And Mark's like, no, fuck off. You know?
Right.
Like, so it does make me think a little bit, like, I wonder if we're going to see that Khonshu is maybe not as on the up and up as he at first seems in this, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't know, man. There's still I feel like there's a lot of ground that we have to cover, and there's only, what, two episodes left?
Only two episodes. And that's how we felt with, like, every Marvel show. I feel like every one of them, we get to this kind of 2/3 mark in the series, and we're like, I don't think they've got enough runway left, you know? So I don't know, man. I think that there's some interesting stuff they could do to kind of turn it around. I'm hoping that they don't go, because we've seen enough tropes in this, I hope they don't go as paint by numbers as it could be. You know,
yeah.
I mean, so far, Marvel's done a pretty good job of not being that way. You know, like, everything's got a little bit of twist and turn, kind of unexpected things. And I just feel like this one should almost have more than the rest, you know, because it is such a crazy story. Just like, you know, what's real, what's not, who am I, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking that if we're going to see who the third persona is, we're going to get it in this next episode. I don't think that's something you can spring on us in the last episode and then try to wrap up.
Right.
You know, but I'm not sure, man. I think it's weird. I did see somebody posted on, I don't even remember what it was on, maybe Reddit, maybe Twitter, but somebody posted that at one point in this episode, when he's in Alexander the Great's tomb, he looks in some surface and sees his reflection. And I don't know if it's lighting and shadow or what, but they posted an image and it certainly looks like it. It certainly looks like the him and the reflection staring back at him has a mustache.
Really?
Which Jake Lockley does in the comics. But yeah, they posted that. And again, it might just be the lighting, because it's kind of not a smooth mirrored surface either. There's some, like, inconsistencies in the surface. So it might just be that's projecting it.
Oh, I think I see what you're talking about.
Oh, did you find it?
Yeah, I think so. That would be really weird. Like, how would my assumption is that, like, if Jake has a mustache when he takes over, does he just put that mustache on, or does this just materialize out of thin air?
Oh God, I hope this doesn't materialize.
Yeah.
We'd have a very Red Hawk situation there, you know, like, oh, his mustache goes away when he turns into the Red Hulk. That doesn't make any sense. I would be more okay where if he saw his reflection with a mustache while he was Jake.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And that's one of the thoughts that people have had too, in some of the videos I've watched, is maybe Jake also has a British accent. Maybe that was Jake we saw in the pyramid the whole time. Because, and one of their reasonings was, if it was Jake who asked the coworker out on the date, she didn't seem thrown by Steven's accent.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so they were like, well, maybe Jake has a British accent as well. And I was like, okay. But then that was the other thought is like, I think again, Ryan Airy pointed out that when he punches himself in the face, the sound of the punch, it's got this weird kind of snap sound to it, which if you go back and listen to the sound, anytime he changes personas, when his eyes roll back and it goes kind of the, you know, mm-hmm. he's like, the snap is kind of a very similar sound. So he's like, was that Steven standing there and Jake punched him and then took over the body, like knocked him out or something. And I was like, interesting. That would be crazy to find out, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, because when he first got down there, he still felt very Steven Grant to me with the, you know, like, oh my God, I'm so excited by all this, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that makes less sense, I think, but I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see where they go with it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the next two episodes. I'm a little disappointed that it's wrapping up already and that there's probably not going to be another series, but.
Right, right. Yeah, me too. I'm kind of interested to see how they go about this, because, I mean, I gotta imagine that as Marvel, even if you don't lock Oscar Isaac in, you want this character to stick around.
Yeah.
In some fashion. So, you know, we've speculated that we might see him again in the Halloween episode, the Halloween special they're doing with Werewolf by Night.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Blade coming and Black Knight is already introduced and sort of, you know, heading into that role. So maybe we'll see a Midnight Suns type thing with them.
That would be cool.
You know, I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see how they mesh him into the world at large, you know?
Right.
So I don't know, but, yeah, I'm with you. I think that this episode was definitely a step up for me. Yeah, there is some tropey stuff in it that kind of makes it a little less enjoyable, you know? Like, I mean, I would have even been fine if she would have come to him and said, like, what about my father or something? If they would have called it out and been like, should we discuss this now? No, we should get the hell out of here. And then Harrow shows up. To me, that feels at least like you're breaking the trope a little bit about like, oh yeah, we're being dumb. Why would we talk about this when we're being chased? You know?
Right.
But man, they didn't. They leaned hard into that one. Mm-hmm. I was like, Layla, you're the reason he got shot, basically. like you're at fault here. I'm still on board. I like it. Again, like every one of these Marvel shows, I feel like we need, you know, a mile of runway to really take off. And we've only got about 300 feet left in time.
Yep.
So we'll see though. I mean, I don't know. I'm interested to see how they kind of bring it all around. Do you have any other thoughts on anything?
I really like this show. I think I've said that every episode. The last episode, I think I liked least of all, but, this episode, especially with the content that was very much like the Welcome to New Egypt comic, I find that much more intriguing. I hope we get a lot more of that because it's newer and fresher to me.
Same here. Agreed completely, man. I think I agree with you on everything you've said. I think last episode was the least enjoyable for me. And then this episode, even the beginning was kind of, even though it had some Mummy and Indiana Jones type things, which I really like, it mm-hmm. sort of felt like it was just plodding along the same path until the big switch up at the end. And right. So no, I mean, like I've said every week, I'm here for it. I'm excited to see where it goes, but I do agree with you. I think that this is an exciting turn for the character. Just hope that we can get the payoff in this last two episodes.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. All right, man. Any other parting thoughts about plonkers or aces?
Nope. No more potty thoughts.
Potty thoughts. Yeah. Thank you. parting thoughts. All right, man. Well, sounds great. I'll talk to you later.
All right, later.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.